Hello and welcome to another episode of the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. This is a special, unique episode. This is what we're calling a preview episode. We are less than 24 hours from the finals of the Cricket World Cup 2023. I'm your host, Ashwin. I'm joined by DJ. And DJ, how are you doing? I know I've been feeling very nervy. I know. Let me just start by how are you feeling on the eve of the World Cup finals?
It feels like the day before the last board exam, right? So some of you who've done the Indian public school exams will know that feeling.
When were you doing your board exams?
So funnily enough, in 2003.
In March
2003 is when we did our board exams, Varun and I. And you as
you
well in 12th. Class 10.
Well, you were class 12th board. I was the 10th board. So yeah. It's just wild. So it's, yeah.
Yeah. And in the midst of that, of course, we watched the last India-Australia World Cup final. This one, I mean, it feels a little different and we'll come to that. But there's nervousness, man. Like I was speaking to my wife the other day and I was like, don't you think the Indian players want this all to be over really quickly? Wouldn't they rather just be out on the field instead of all the anticipation? I mean, they've been sitting doing nothing since they won on Wednesday, right? Like, what are they feeling? And she's like, are you okay? Like, why are you talking to me about this stuff?
Yeah.
Are you worried about their well-being? They're professional cricketers.
Of course.
I was like, yeah, but they're playing some of them are playing the biggest match of their life. Like Shubman Gill, he's like, he probably doesn't know about the 2003 World Cup because he's that young. He was like 3 years old then.
Yeah.
Must be, right?
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's just crazy. There's so much to unpack. I feel like I've been, all the hype and chat has been about sort of the presumed victory for Team India, which makes me more nervous because I feel like if you're younger, this is not an old guy thing to say, oh, the younger generation, this and that, but I feel like if you've watched Team India for, we'll call it 10, 12 years, you haven't been through the pain quite as much. You haven't been through the 2003 World Cup. You haven't been to 1996 and burning of seats and, you know, you just haven't been through quite as much as us. And so our generation, you're just probably just that little bit more scarred and therefore much more nervous. Whereas a lot of people are saying 10 out of 10 winning streak, objectively, clearly the best team in the tournament. So I don't know. Do you think we have those scars more than the younger generation?
And is of
that,
course, is that, yeah. Of course, we have those scars. We have those defeats that we've been through. You've talked about the burning of seats. I remember exactly where I was sitting in 1996 as a 11-year-old when Sachin got stumped off his pad by Kalu Vitharana. And like, I think it was 98 for 2. And like, there was went to 120 for 8. Eden Gardens burnt. We saw Eden host another semi-final recently. It's probably the first one they've hosted since 1996. But then when the defeats were taken harder, and we probably, when you're younger, the heartbreaks are greater, right? The victories, we've obviously won in 2011, the win at the Wankhede, probably the greatest moment in Indian history, Indian cricket history since the 1983. And I've got, for those of you who can see, I've got a poster with Dhoni finishes it off in style in the background.
What do we need to get you to frame based on how tomorrow goes? Or let's deal with that when it comes, right? Let's deal with
Shami! That's number 8.
Number 8, is that the prediction?
That's it. If he takes 8, we're winning, right? But I mean, that should have felt cathartic. That should have washed away the pain. It should have felt better winning 3 trophies in 6 years. But that first heartbreak, really, I think 2003, and I put out a tweet on Twitter, saying in 2003, we were the underdogs, right? Australia were the big dogs. They were the superpower. They'd won, they'd lost in the finals in 96, sure, but they'd won 99. They had gone unbeaten in 2003. They'd smashed us in the group game. Players' effigies were being burned. Players' houses were being attacked. Somehow we managed to win, I think, 8 or 9 games on the trot to get to the final. There was all the talk about our bowling attack. It was Javagal Srinath, Ashish Nehra, Zaheer Khan. I mean, you're just smiling thinking of it because that was the talk. Like, we've got the bowlers. We're going to go out attacking. Saurav Ganguly chucks the coin up. And
I was also smiling because when Shami took his sixth, I don't know if you were watching this, Nasser Hussain was in the commentary box, and whoever was with him brought up 6 for 23 and from Ashish Nehra, and how Shami might outdo it. And it was just a great memory because Nasser was playing that game.
So that was Durban, right? And Nasser was playing, and Nehra was sick after eating a banana. These are all memories. But that ended in, and we were like, can India somehow do it? We'd beaten Australia in a famous match in Nairobi. We'd won in 2002 in the NatWest Trophy. Ganguly brought in a new era. But we were hoping against hope. Can this underdog team beat this all-time great team? Yes, they didn't have Shane Warne. They didn't have Jason Gillespie, but they still had enough. But that we won the toss. We chose to bowl. First over, full of adrenaline. Zaheer Khan pumped up runs. And why don't you talk about what happened next? Like, no ball, five wides.
Five wides, right? I think that was sort of it. I'm trying to pull up as we speak what Varun said. And he was reminiscing. But he said, Zaheer bowled a wide for five first ball, gave Hayden a stare. And that was the game there itself. I mean, there's just so much history, right? And so you're sitting here with the team that has objectively been the best team this World Cup. And I, as much as I'm nervous and World Cup finals are different, you can't argue that to this point, India has been the best team. They're at home. Best batting, best bowling, all of the above. Against a team who just knows how to get this done. That's what this match is, right? A five-time world champions. A lot of naysayers. I think I had them in my semi-prediction. I think I may have had them in my finals prediction. And the specific thing I said is, yes, they look old. Yes, they're not, or they are an old side. Yes, they haven't looked great. But you can never write off five-time world champions, right? That's the truth, and that's what they are. And so that's where the scars of 2003. Yes, we turned them around at the Gabba. We've had moments in Test cricket where Team India showed up. I'm at a bit of a loss for words because despite being full-time or not full-time but 5-year-long podcasters, because I just don't want to let myself get carried away, if that makes any sense. Does that emotion resonate with you?
It does. I mean, but that's just superstition, right? What I've been seeing on X has been astrologers predicting games and
And people are already saying Modi's writing his speech for after the victory. And I was like, what are you guys doing, man? This is
because
we could be 2 for 3.
The truth is we were 2 for 3, and as Pat Cummins pointed out, we were one Virat Kohli catch away from beating India in that first game. Of course, the teams have come a long way since then.
They were also one Glenn Maxwell catch away from Mujeeb playing the finals tomorrow. Instead, right?
So, you should have been in the press conference. Reminding
I should have
Pat Cummins of that. But but you're the stats guy, right? And I'll give you a bit of time to do this because obviously we're sort of sitting and ruminating really because there isn't anything to do.
Yeah.
But I'm sure India in the last few years, the duration of this podcast, 2018 onwards, has probably had a better record against Australia than in the past. I mean, we beat them in the 2019 World Cup with the Shikhar Dhawan century.
Yeah.
We scored 300 plus. We were at the Oval to watch that. We've beaten them in the first game of this World Cup. Yes, it took a KL Rahul special and a Virat Kohli special to get us there. Just before this World Cup started, we won 2 out of 3 games pretty convincingly.
Yeah.
So I'm. It's not the Australia of old, right? The scars are there. It's watching that yellow team against the team in blue, which makes you nervous.
Do you have different scars for watching a yellow team against a team in blue, captained by Rohit?
But this year it was okay, right? The yellow team. But that's the other thing we should come to, actually.
Yeah.
The memories of the Indian players on the Narendra Modi pitch, Narendra Modi Stadium pitch.
So actually, you and I have been ruminating. This is probably not a super fun episode for people to listen to because we're just getting emotional. But let us talk a little bit about the most important stuff as it pertains to a World Cup preview. DJ, let's start with the number one most critical thing. What happened to Dua Lipa? Why did she announce that she's singing in the show and then suddenly bail? And now it's Pritham and the Gujarati Coke studio guy singing. Like, what's actually happening with the halftime show? And will they broadcast it or did they not figure out the rights again?
See, I have no idea. You're the guy that advertises on the Super Bowl, so you know more about
this. Have you seen this 35-page PDF going around about the halftime show? I'll send it to you.
You have to tell us about this. I'm sure our listeners will also.
It's a full 35-page PDF that I got on WhatsApp, so I would assume some listeners have seen it too. And it just goes through the final ceremony. It says we will start with a four-part ceremony. open with a salute in the sky at 12:30 p.m. IST for 10 minutes. Surya Kiran acrobatic team, the Indian Air Force, which would be pretty cool. Then, so there's some more details of the air show. Then the halftime show would be a parade of champions, moment in history where I think World Cup, all they've invited all the World Cup winning
except
captains.
Except for now. Imran Khan.
Will Imran be able to come on?
Sorry, that's really mean. I know there's a lot of like political angle to that, but that is a bit funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. So they'll do a recount of the different trophies and stuff. BCCI officials will felicitate them with a special blazer representing the 2023 World Cup. Then Jashna rocks the stadium is the title of the next slide. Music composer Pritham performs live with entourage of 500 plus dancers. There's already been clips circulating on X and all that. Customized floats for Pritham and the singers as they go around the whole stadium. Songs may include Deva Deva, Kesariya, Lehrado, Jeetega Jeetega. Is this too much detail?
The biggest problem with all of this is that like, Virat Kohli might just come out and start dancing and injure himself or something.
But that'll be just poetic.
Did you see him dancing to Ewai Ewai?
No.
In one of these games, the ICC posted it. It's obviously Anushka Sharma's debut film. Kohli was going to get away.
The last part of it is the second innings drinks break is the laser show, which some Aussie players spoke out against. And then Warner said he likes it. So anyway.
No, that'd be great if Maxi's batting in the second innings just then and he's going great gun and the laser show happened and he gets out next ball. It'll be perfect.
Yes. It'll be just perfection.
Kuldeep's getting Maxi tomorrow, 100%. He's going straight up in the air.
Let's actually mark this. I read a stat that Bumrah has not actually gotten Warner out. So, ever in ODIs. So, DJ, let me ask you about team selection. A lot of buzz, and Twitter can be a crazy place and toxic and this and that for this reason. But a lot of buzz about the pitch and the fact that it looks like it's going to be slower, it's going to be lower, less bouncing. And so, you start to question my namesake. Does he, after not playing 9 of the last 10 games, I guess, does he get a chance in this World Cup against an Aussie batting lineup with two left-handed openers? Do you see Ravi Ashwin coming tomorrow, or do they stick to the working combination?
So he played the first game at Chennai, right?
Yeah.
Against the Aussies. Yeah. Did pretty well.
Yeah.
Bowled pretty well. Did he bowl 1 for 32 or something?
Sure. I believe you.
Something like that. Maybe one, maybe more, maybe less. I don't know.
Let's see. We're going to check really quickly as you do that. Australia got 199 all out. Ash was 1 for 34. Dude, your memory is
it's
something
sick.
Else.
This is the problem. It's just something else. I have junk stored there, man. It's nonsense. But
that was incredible.
But they are not going to play Ash tomorrow.
Okay. So they stick to the 11.
It's too big a call to take in a game where they've won everything. The conventional wisdom is you change a losing game. You don't change a winning game, right? So if Novak Djokovic is winning game after game. By the way, Novak Djokovic, did he see his tweet on Kohli?
No. What did he
Unbelievable. He tweeted congratulations to Kohli for 50 tons.
Nice.
Yeah, because they're clearly fans of each other. Because when Nole won, I think Virat called him greatest of all time. And stuff.
Dude, I was trying to plan the podcast preview recording because he's playing this afternoon my time against Alcaraz.
But what's the point? It's like that. This is the Nitto ATP final, right?
Yeah, he's playing against Alcaraz. It'll be a great match. Anyway,
he's lost everything already, hasn't he?
What are you talking about?
Djokovic, hasn't he lost a couple of games? Is he going to make
it? He lost one match. He's in the semifinals. What are you talking about?
Oh, is
about?
He? He's going to stop tracking.
Okay, let me just... So there's a comment coming in from Randomly Systematic saying, Ashwin shall play this match. India won the 2011 World Cup because Srisant played the first and last game only that year and Ashwin can do the same.
Ooh.
So that's an interesting one.
So in theory, if this was any other game, right, and not a tournament game, India would have gone with what the pitch is doing. If you think, just in isolation, it's a bilateral Paytm trophy. Yeah. What would you have done?
So, in that situation, let me just walk through the numbers, right? Against Sri Lanka, Mohammad Siraj picks up 3 for 16. Absolutely brilliant spell. He's just a Sri Lanka bully. Then, he is, right? The last two times he's played Sri Lanka, he's picked up combined 10, I guess. But then they played, I'm going backwards order, but against South Africa, Siraj was 4 overs, 1 for 11, but because we didn't have to really do much, right? South Africa got 83 all out. Then we went to Netherlands, And he only bowled 6 overs, picked up 2 for 29. And then the semifinal came around, right? And Siraj went 1 for 78 in his 9, right? The most expensive by far. So while it hasn't been bad, it hasn't been the... It hasn't been the same Siraj of the early stages of the World Cup. Definitely not against Sri Lanka. So do you sit there thinking we are better served? If you're just looking at the pitch, forget about the last 10 games. No Hardik Pandya. Are we better served with a Ravi Ashwin at 8 against Mohammad Siraj at 10? What do you think? And by the way, the pitch talk may all be PR and hype and to throw off the Aussies. But there's been pictures of the Aussies inspecting the pitch. And they seem like there's some nerves. They pointed something out about the pitch, but didn't want to create too much hype. They didn't want to...
Apparently, it was unrolled on the ends, but it looked good in the middle. Now,
See,
Ahmedabad is going to give you a good batting track.
Yeah.
Other than against England in that test match, in most cases, it's been a pretty decent
batting track. Should Akshar come in?
Just bring him in for the last game. He's not even in the squad, is he?
Yeah, just fly. You can change the squad.
Yeah, because he's next door anyway. But no, on all honesty, they are not going to change this combination. It served them for 9 games, including at Lucknow. If there was an argument to bring in a spinner, that would have been at Lucknow. They are not going to change it. They're not going to disrupt the rhythm. Ashwin hasn't played for nearly a month. It's a lot to ask to bring him in on the last day. Yes, massively experienced player, right?
Sure.
But it's a huge call on the last day.
Okay.
And this is tournament cricket. You've got a bunch of people that are playing together, gelling well. And my question, I guess, there is, what will a third spinner give you, which Jadeja and Kuldeep aren't going to give you?
I mean, 10 more overs, right? And I think it's not
Correct.
Sorry, I think the specific difference is against a team with lefties at the top of the order.
Yeah.
Do you open the bowling with a Bumrah Siraj or do you open with a Bumrah Ash? And Ash versus Warner? Yeah.
But Shami averages 4 against left-handers this World Cup. Like, literally, you can look this up. Look it up.
That's unbelievable.
I saw the stat and I was like, that's unbelievable. Because there's an article by Crickinfo. I can't remember which writer it is because I was just reading one after the other and it was like basically his angle against the left-handers has been irresistible. And it was talking about how from dropping that catch, turned like something into joy. I think that's the name of the article. It was just fantastic. But his average against lefties this time is 4. So I wouldn't worry left, right? Listen, all of this is all conventional wisdom. India has already shown us this is all gone out of the window. We have got 7 right-handed players in the top, whatever, top six. We've got 6 top right-hand played in the top 6. Only Jadeja's lefty.
Yeah.
So I'd back Siraj to do the job. I mean, he can do the job on the day, right? And who knows? Who knows? Unless there's an injury, I can't see India changing this team.
Okay.
The interesting question is Australia going to change their team because they played Manas? He failed. Are they going to go in again with him in the final? Because I'd said they should play Stoinis instead, and clearly they didn't.
Yeah, I'm just trying to... So they did play Marnus again, right? I'm just trying to look through Australia's composition for the semi versus the previous matches. So Maxi came back in and they brought back in Stark. Sean Abbott missed out, obviously, and Stoinis missed out. Yeah, I think they stick to it also, man. I think they stick to it also. Also, let's not forget, he hasn't bowled yet in this tournament, but Marnus is another spin option for the Aussies. So I think versus them bringing, who are they going to bring back? The Stoinis with like another quick bowling option. I think we're sitting here talking about more spin.
I actually think this is just mind games. That track is going to be full of 1,000 runs, as it always is. In the last 2 years, every game, IPL final, what were the scores in the IPL final?
So let's just talk about the 4 games then that have happened at Ahmedabad really quickly, right? So the first match of the tournament, England-New Zealand. England makes 282. New Zealand chases it down and 36 overs, I think it was.
Yep.
Next match, India-Pakistan. Pakistan got all out for 191. India chased it down pretty.
But 2-2-2-2-2. So quick bowlers. Those were the 2 Bumrah balls, right? Everybody took 2 wickets, I think, in that game.
That's right. And in the first match, you had Matt Henry take 3s. But then Santner and Glenn Phillips took 2 apiece. So nothing super conclusive. Then you went to... So India-Pakistan, we talked about, right? But both teams so far win the match batting second.
Yep.
Then you went to England-Australia, Australia, I think actually England wanted to chase because they'd seen what happened earlier. Australia makes 286, four for Wokes, two for Rashid, and then two for Mark Wood. But England struggled to chase it down, three for Zampa there, and then the rest were all quicks. So again, mixed, right? Very balanced so far, to be honest. And a team that played any better than England may have believed they could chase on 286. And then Afghanistan, South Africa here. Again, Afghanistan opted to bat here, which was the first team that won the toss chose to bat first. But that was more probably playing the opposition than the surface, where they believed that South Africa batting first is a completely different board. Made 244, and this one was the match where they got over the line. The South Africans got over the line and were trying to shed the Joker's tag and all that stuff. Two for Nabi, two for Rashid, four for Kotse, if that's how you say his name. Two for Maharaj.
He's a quick. Yeah,
he's a quick. Maharaj got two. So again, very balanced, right? So as you look at it, it seems like it does feel like it favors the team chasing. It's not like the one carry necessarily. And B, seems like more balance between pace and spin, unless of course something crazy has happened with the surface.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is all just chatter that's. It's getting in the Aussies' heads, right? It's like, should we play him? What are we going to do?
Yeah.
If you've got a spinner like Jadeja and you've got Kuldeep, and remember, Kuldeep turns the ball away from the left-handers, which is the same direction that Ash goes. And that's actually been pointed out in the comments as well by Vishnu Venkatesh. So you've got the ball turning both ways. I think 20 overs of spin will be enough for the Aussies. The key will be to get David worn out. I'm interested that Bumrah's never got worn out in a ODI game.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't have the full numbers of how many balls he's bowled to him and all that stuff, but I just saw the stat. So
how are we going to win or lose this game tomorrow, Ashwin? So this is what's stressing us out, right? Like, you've won 10 games in a row. You're clearly so far ahead of the opposition. When we did the preview, I think I was pretty disgusted by everything. I was just like, if we don't win it now, when are we ever going to win it? Because it's all stacked in our favor.
Sure.
We're playing well. Our team is doing well. They've got grounds that are full of Indian jerseys. We're at the top of our game. Rohit Sharma has been brilliant.
Yeah.
We've come back from adversity 2 for 3. We've pummeled teams to the ground. We've scored low in Lucknow and restricted England. We've bowled teams out with spin. We've got our spinners taking fifers. Our seamers are taking fifers. How is India going to lose this?
I mean, so you give me chills.
What
a horrible question.
It's such a great question. As an Indian fan, that tells you your perspective on how scarred you've been. Yeah. Like, not how are we going to win it?
How are we going to throw it away?
How do we throw it away?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting question, right? And as you think about framing it, for me, a couple of sort of X factors, right? Let me start by saying famous last words. I'm not super, super worried about the Aussie bowling line, okay? Their threats have historically been Stark, Cummins, Hazelwood. None of them have looked great this World Cup. Cummins actually is memorable this World Cup for his batting, if anything. Not with the ball, right? And his captaincy, give him credit for that, but not with the ball. Stark has had occasional decent spells. Hazelwood's looked better, probably the best of the three. But for me, none of them have looked great. Zampa has had a good World Cup. We have played a lot of Zampa. Most of our players have played a lot of these guys in the IPL. And we're probably the best batting side against spin. And then Maxwell has taken wickets. So I feel okay about that. So as I look at it, the threat comes from Travis Head up at the top of the order. A couple good knocks, a couple of failures. But for me, if he gets off to a flyer, and you combine that with David Warner, who maybe outside of Team India has played the most cricket in India of the current active World Cup crop. I mean, the Chris Gayles of the world, obviously, they don't count. But among active players, I think David Warner probably played the most cricket in India. And so he knows spin, he knows the conditions, he knows the crowds. The crowds actually love him. And so that's the key threat, right? I think Mitchell Marsh has had a good World Cup, but the likes of Shami should be able to handle him. Smith will try to consolidate. And then Maxwell similarly, right? He blows hot or cold, had an absolutely stunning knock against Afghanistan, but I believe we have the bowling to potentially...
Big ground as well, Ahmedabad, remember.
Yeah, huge ground, right? Maxwell dominates the Chinnaswamy Wankhede's types. But so for me, I think the threat for Australia is the top of the order. And if we can get through them reasonably quickly, I think it's more doable. I don't know. What's your take, TJ?
So I read a Jared Kimba article about how to beat India, and it was a great article.
Yeah.
And it was like their weakness is the number 8 position.
Australia.
I think India's.
India's, yeah.
But to get to number 8
yeah.
is an impossible feat, basically. Because yeah. Look at the people you've got. You've got Rahul. Let's start with Rohit. Form of his life, just smashing it everywhere. Averaging high, striking high.
Yeah.
With him, so let's got
say, but let's say he gets, let's say Rohit gets 40 and the 20 balls and gets out. That could yeah. that could be, and it, that's fine too.
And you've got Shubman Gill, double centurion yeah. in one day cricket, loves batting at that ground. And this is what I was coming to.
Home ground.
Yeah. The memories that the Indian players have made at that ground. Jadeja hitting the winning runs against the Gujarat Titans at the end of this year's IPL. Shubman Gill, I think, got 100 in that game as well, or got runs in that game. Got hundreds in test matches. Virat Kohli's got 100 in a test match there. 186, I think, against Australia.
Yep.
Who are the other? Bumrah, of course, like is just a brilliant player. But Rahul is in great form right now. Shreyas Iyer is coming off two consecutive hundreds. Surya Kumar Yadav hasn't had a chance to do his thing yet, which is not a bad thing, almost.
Did you skip our number 3?
No, Virat is just like, he's sitting on top of the world, man. Yeah, like he's enjoying it, and it's about him.
Yeah.
And so that's the only danger with all of this is that something, I think they have the belief.
Yeah.
And they kept their nerve in the semi-final. They were scratchy in the semi-final, but they did keep their nerve. I think if it's a 280-ish score, then it's game on. Anything above 280 that we need to chase, I think it's game on in a final, because the final adds yeah. another 20, 30 runs, right?
I agree. This is a 250-280 wicket. It's not a 325 plus yeah. wicket. And what about if we bat first? How much do we think we need to give Shami and crew to defend?
So the issue with it is you're looking for new ball wickets because you want the crowd mm-hmm. to get behind you.
Mm-hmm.
The moment the crowd falls silent, 120,000 people is a lot of people to silence. And India will feel like they feel the energy of the crowd when they're up. Even at the 1K yeah. day, there were moments where the crowd went completely quiet. And so if you're going to the game tomorrow,
yeah.
I would urge you to make your voice heard even when India is down.
Especially when India is down. Especially, yeah. It's very easy to be loud when the 2-3 quick wickets fall or when 6 is being hit. You have to be loud. You have to be the difference maker. You should be that cliched 12th man when India is struggling, if India is struggling. Yeah. So I could not agree more with that. Pat Cummins actually said, he said, we know there'll be, you know, 130,000, 1.3 lakh fans. It's pretty fun to try to silence such a big crowd. Now, he's chosen to make a big statement like that. Yeah. But it's true, right? He knows that they will all be cheering. I made a comment that fans love Warner. I know somebody in the comments has said they won't love Warner tomorrow, which is absolutely clear. But so I think all the more reason, right? The crowds need to be behind Team India if Australia starts to get a leg up. All right, DJ, we can talk about this for hours. Let me just try to say. So you're saying same 11.
Same 11.
Win toss, do what?
I think you'd bat. Chase. I think you'd chase.
Try to chase.
Yeah.
Get restricted to 280 or less, and it feels good.
Yeah, 280 or less is a chaseable score. You've done it you've chased the last game against Australia. Yes, you were 2-3, but you won. You've chased well against Afghanistan. You've chased well against New Zealand as well in the group game. We got them out for 273 or something, I think. It was an easy chase.
Yeah.
I think if anything under 280 and India bat second, this is their game. It'll be... That's par for the course. Anything over 300.
Yeah.
Remember, it has never been chased in an ODI World Cup. We're living in an era, yes, of two new balls, field restrictions, sure. all of that. But the highest ever chase in a World Cup final remains that day at the 1K day. 2011, 274, I think is what we chased.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the pressure of a final, and there will be pressure of a final, no matter how much these guys deny it, however professional they are, whatever's gone on behind you is no longer relevant.
Yeah. Okay. And so then I'm not going to actually ask you to predict, because I hope we're both going to predict India victories. Let me just ask you, who do you think stands out tomorrow? Who do you think, let's say, predict the player of the match for me? Or you, and you can pick one batter, one bowler if you want, if you don't want to predict either.
So I'm going to go with Shubman Gill with the bat.
Yeah.
This is his, there were some stats I remember flying around earlier in the year about Shubman in Ahmedabad and Shubman outside Ahmedabad.
Oh, nice.
Don't you remember that?
Yeah.
This is the time. I mean, he loves batting there, and he's had an okay tournament. I wouldn't say he's had a fantastic tournament. I mean, the last innings would have helped. He's looked good in times. There was chat that his injury came because of dengue after effects, but I think that's my batter. That's going to stand out for India.
Does that come paired, or is it just me, or does that come paired with visuals of him lifting up King and saying, Virat's carried the nation, the burden of the nation on his shoulders for so long, it's time to carry him on our shoulders. It's too much, man.
Or another similar line. I don't know.
Of course, yeah.
And I would put it to Gill. I think we chase. I would back our boy Gill to score the runs in the company of King. It would be a nice touch if King is around at the end. Yeah. That would be great. Which is why I kind of hope that India bat second a little bit. But I don't care. Whatever. Yeah. We need to win. And my bowler actually is going to be Jasprit Bumrah. It's time. Okay. It is time. Yeah. Yeah. He has been the outstanding bowler. Seemed to be a little nervous against New Zealand in the semi. There were a few wides down the leg side. What did you make of that performance by Boom in the semi?
Yeah, I mean, I think a little bit of the occasion getting to him. I think the fact that he'd recovered, right, and still got the team over the line for me. And again, of course, it's very easy to look on paper at Shami's 5 wickets, 4 wickets, 5 wickets, 7 wickets. It's really important to remember that Bumrah's pressure on the other end, and the fact that the batting side feels the need to play out Bumrah enables Shami to be more aggressive and take wickets. So bowling, we always talk about batting partnerships. Bowlers run in pairs too, and so I think Bumrah showed up as a little nervy, but I think he has the mental strength, and he has obviously the physical ability to deliver on the big stage. So I'm with you on that.
Bumrah finishes it off in style.
I mean, it depends on the toss, right? I think my hope more than any of the batting or bowling predictions at this point is that Shastri is in the commentary box for the finish.
He has to be, right? So that's what they try and do that a little bit.
Yeah, they do it on purpose.
They had Ian Bishop for the West Indies win.
Yeah, if you're listening on YouTube or watching us live, post in the comments your predictions for who will stand up tall tomorrow. I can't disagree with your Gill prediction, but for me, I have a feeling Rohit will actually come good tomorrow. Not to say he hasn't come good yet, but he's played a very specific role to just give starts. I think he's going to bat long tomorrow. And so whether we're chasing or setting a target, I think Rohit is going to come good.
I actually don't think Rohit will bat long at all, because I think he's got one gear in this tournament throughout.
If he bats long,
we're going to get 500.
That's what I'm saying. I'm hoping it's a 264 type of day for him. But it's funny because we used to talk about Rohit as not just sixes and acceleration. We just talked, the expression was daddy hundreds, right? It wasn't just hundreds. When he makes a century, he makes a big century. And so for me, I think tomorrow is going to be his day. And I think with the ball, actually, I'm going Kuldeep. There's just something about the visual of Kuldeep at his lowest. And now watching him represent the country in the final in front of 130,000 people live and potentially a billion watching.
Did you see him at the ground where he's like, where he was like, "Main hoon na," when they were saying, "Ye bahut maar rahe," he turned to the crowd and he said, "Main hoon na." And nice. it was literally just that. But
he's got it.
Ashwin, there is a world that we wake up on Monday and India is not a world champion.
I know. No, I'm not talking about that right now.
Tell me how we've dealt with it before, right? And it felt like that in 2019 as well in the
why
semi.
Why would you do this? No, I just want to ask.
How would we be able to deal with that if we had to?
I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you. I mean, we'll see. I don't know. I cannot have a press conference saying after 10 wins in a row, 45 minutes of bad cricket and we lost it. Like, I just can't. I won't be able to. I don't know if I'll do that. I might have to take a hiatus from this podcast. You and Varun can run it for a couple of months.
This is all we say.
Yeah.
If India doesn't play well, we have to stop the podcast.
It's not great. Doesn't play well, man. It's just the kind of dominance we've shown But that's what makes World Cup special. It's happened in sport before. It'll happen again. So
it's all set up, right? Like it's a home World Cup. We won every single match.
Yeah. Actually, there's a good comment coming in from Randomly Systematic, which just says, if India does lose, who's going to watch the T20s that start 4 days later against what? Australia again? Do you know, India-Australia T20 start on Thursday after the World Cup.
Under 14 or something. What are we playing? Like international?
I hope
proper play, adult men's or women's play cricket. A C what? Team.
It's adult men's.
Who is going to? This is. They made England do this also in Australia,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
After they win the World Cup, the T20 World Cup, they made them play some stupid like ODI games.
Yeah, it's gonna. They're starting on Thursday.
Which
it's
they basically. Wow.
Yeah. So.
Who the hell? Yeah. I scheduled this nonsense.
Anyway.
By the way, there are some great 70-minute references coming in. Rahul Dravid, the losing captain.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, but anyway. What about Dravid? He's kept pretty quiet throughout.
Yeah, actually, you have to give credit where it's due. And we were a little bit critical after some of the early, probably the early phase of his stint as coach. But you have to give credit where it's due, man. I mean, in the corporate world, at least, results matter more than anything. And that's true for sport too, right? Results have showed up regardless, actually, of what happens tomorrow. 10 out of 10, dominance. I mean, full credit to Rohit, full credit to Dravid. I hope we can celebrate it with a victory. But even if not, you have to give full credit to both coach and captain for the way they've just defined people's roles. And sorry, we're going on a tangent again. Last thing, have you seen those clips start to surface of how 3-4 times in his knock, Kohli's checking with the dressing room, raising his glove and just making sure he's like, am I doing okay? And you talk a lot about the selfishness and a lot of, not you, but like so much of this discussion, but they've created this culture where Kohli knew his role and he's talked about it and he kept checking in. Hey, how am I doing? Am I doing okay? Do they send a message in?
Yeah, Rohit sent a message in at one point, right? Quite animated. What do we know what that was about?
I don't think I know what that was, but I think the point is, compare him to the Babars and the Tembas who are getting heat as skippers. Rohit is involved. He's animated. He's leading from the front with his words and with the bat. And I give absolutely full credit to both Rohit and Rahul, regardless of what happens tomorrow.
And Rohit Sharma's tweet, I co-tweeted it recently from 2011.
Yeah.
In January, when he was left out of the squad for the World Cup starting in March or February and March, he said, "I'm very disappointed. Don't know what to do. Any views or something like that." And to go from that, and it was actually Virat Kohli that took his spot, really.
Yeah.
Because he was a young player to
and
watch.
Today at the press conference started, the announcer said, "Press reporters, please may I present to you Rohit Sharma." And he says, "Abe, sabko pata hai, chal shuru karte." It was too good.
It's a completely different vibe. But I mean, for him to come from that to being one step away from holding the World Cup up as an Indian skipper. And we were critical of him as well. He was like, "Oh, the World Cup is 8 months ago away. Who's thought about it right now and all?"
But clearly, it's data-driven,
right? A lot of it is.
I come back to feeling like we may be hypocritical just from going to say, "Oh, he's struggling." He's the best thing since last. But and to me, the results matter, and they have shown the results. The team dynamic, the camaraderie between the guys, the support, the amount. By the way, Rohit pulls in Kohli to chat about field positions when batters, for example, are taking the attack to us. They talk. It shows it's a team, and it's operating like a team. And I can only hope that team gets to lift a trophy in less than 24 hours time.
I mean, we have the best bowlers, the best batters. It will literally. So this is where we are, right? Like 2003, we were hoping for a miracle to beat Australia.
Yeah,
and now I think they're very much on the other foot. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly what you said. They are now hoping for a miracle to beat us. They need something big to happen.
I think
unfamiliar place for us to be, so we don't know what to do with it.
That is exactly it. I think that summarizes yours and my energy and tone in this episode, because we don't know what to do in this position because we just haven't been in this position, right? We needed a miracle from 36-9, still not calling it 36 all out. We needed a miracle in 2003 and anybody, they will need, you know, maybe miracle is a strong word, but they will need a moment of magic. They'll need a Maxwell batting on no feet type of moment to beat us, because that's how strong the team in the Indian team is.
Yeah, so. And they'll come hard at us. I mean, they are a proud team, a nation that's won five World Cups?
Five World Cups.
Oh, men's World Cups.
More than that, I think, in the women's game.
How many ever? Some of this team, Ashwin, is not that much younger than us.
Mm-hmm.
Let's remember that. Virat would have been, 13? Rohit would have been 14.
Virat is my age. Like, he's a few months younger than me. So he remembers it exactly as
he would have been watching that 2003 final.
Yeah.
And now they have the chance to write their name into history. Yes, they've won a World Cup in 2011. But that was as much Sachin Tendulkar's homecoming, glory, MS Dhoni's brilliance, Gautam Gambhir's brilliance. Kohli played a part, but it was a bit part. His part was carrying the other guy on his shoulder and giving the quip and playing a 35 knock. Yes, he scored 100, but he wasn't the center of the show.
Yeah.
Rohit wasn't even in that team. None of the other guys, the only Ashwin was in the team but didn't play the final.
Yeah.
So the only person who knows that feeling of lifting a World Cup is Kohli, and he was nowhere close to a king then. Yeah. He was not even the prince at that point. He was just a slightly chubby kid from Delhi who could bat really well and had a way with words. Probably prepared that line 1,000 times in the night before because he knew it was going to come to him.
Yeah.
But now is the time for this would be their victory, their moment to redeem and get rid of some of those scars that they would have also felt as kids. And I mean, the hopes are different now, right? Like we're pretty confident that we're going to win tomorrow.
Yeah.
But cricket's a funny sport. So hopefully tomorrow brings a good game, which ends in the right result.
I cannot think of a better note to wrap that up on. Really well said. Other than the fact, DJ, that you've made me realize now I'm probably exactly in between Rohit and Virat's age. I think if you split the difference on their birthdays, is exactly where mine is. So, just phenomenal. It's going to be a good one. I have my alarm set for 2:25. I'm going to miss probably some of the air shows and stuff, but I will be ready for the first ball because it's 2:30 a.m. my time. Again, for those in U.S. Central Time or anywhere close, I hope you are all planning your sleep cycle like I am, so you get to be awake and alert for the entire game. It's going to be great. DJ, thank you for joining me. Thanks for doing this preview. Hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, send in your tweets, Facebook messages, Insta, all of the above.
Go to the temple, go to the church, go to the mosque, whatever you have to do.
And I will say again, if anybody is listening to this and going to the stadium, be at your loudest when Team India is not doing well, because that's when they need you. And that's a wrap.
We will. Ye dosti, hum nahi todenge.
That is it. Thank you all for joining us. This has been the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. We will see you tomorrow, hopefully jubilant. Fingers crossed. Thanks for joining. We will talk to you again soon.